Guy in the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang as my co-host to discuss the threat of the People's Liberation Army Navy to our ally Japan and our allies along the First Island Chain, including the Philippines. We're very pleased to welcome James Fennell, co-author of Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. He is a government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy. He's in Switzerland. He's a former naval officer specializing in intelligence and knows these waters of the Western Pacific and East Asia very well. Jim, a very good day to you. I go to the cover piece in the Newsweek magazine in these last hours. Since I became prime minister, said Prime Minister Fumio Kishida of Japan, we have been substantially revising Japan's national security strategy. Now, in that strategy, of course, we will not change the steps we have been taking to date as a peace-loving nation. In your time on active duty and now after active duty, how do you measure these words of the prime minister? Is this a militarizing Japan? Is this some fresh wind that's come to Tokyo? Good evening to you, Jim.
Well, good evening, John and Gordon. And I think what we're seeing is this recognition by the various nations in the Western Pacific that China's modernization program and its stated intentions can't just be accepted without some fear of retribution and payback, especially for the Japanese. And they understand that the Chinese Communist Party has really played up the World War II card and what happened in World War II. And so there's a lot of, I think, recognition now in Tokyo that Beijing is not just going to deal with just with Taiwan or the Philippines, but they're going to actually also deal with Japan and try to take the territory that China believes is theirs, which would include the Senkaku and the lower Ryukyus, if not maybe even farther up the chain. So they're recognizing in Taipei or in Tokyo that this is a real threat. And, you know, even a couple of years ago, you had part of the Abe team talking about that if what happened in Taiwan would be considered part of Japan's national security. So that is a major change when that Taro Aso made that statement a couple of years ago. And now you've got this statement from the prime minister. This is really demonstrating that the Japanese are recognizing the threat and they're going to defend themselves.
Gordon, you have a question for our friend Jim.
Jim, Kishida has announced a 50% increase in the Japanese defense budget over a period of 5 years. Japan has an economy which is ailing, even in the best of times. Do you think that they'll be able to pay for that? And where do you see the Japanese defense budget going?
Well, I think the Japanese have shown that throughout time, Gordon, that they've been able to find the resources that they need to do the things that they'd like to do. So maybe they'll build a few less bridges and a few less buildings, but they will find those resources. And so I think, to answer your first question, I think they'll be able to fund what they need. The question is it enough? And even with this increase, is it enough to catch up to and provide the kind of defenses that are needed to match the last 25 years of PRC military modernization and buildup? And that's an open question. But I think, you know, with the Japanese, at least from what I've seen, when they put their mind to something, they seem to, you know, they're not going to be doing it half-heartedly, if that makes sense.
They're talking the talk in Tokyo. Now let's see if they're walking the walk. This is within these last hours. An environmental survey of the Senkaku Islands, Japanese, and the surrounding waters conducted by the municipal government in Ishigaki, Okinawa Prefecture, was forced to halt due to a Chinese Coast Guard vessel approaching within 1 kilometer. This is the third survey by the municipality since January. The second day of the most recent survey, some media crews were present, including the Amura Shimbun. What we're looking at here is a challenge by the Chinese Coast Guard. That is important to explicate why that is a Coast Guard ship, against a Japanese team, research team, exploring waters that are Japanese around an island that is Japanese. How do you read this, Jim? Why is China making a show of this, knowing the long history of enmity between Japan and China?
Well, we have to back up to last December when Xi went to the East China Sea Coast Guard commanding officers, the director general, General Yu Zhang, and met with him. And then there was a press release of his conversation with General Yu Zhang, and where he talked about that Xi has asked the Chinese Coast Guard to constantly strengthen their efforts to safeguard the sovereignty of the Diutai, or the Senkaku Islands. And then he made a big, additional statement saying, we can only move forward. We cannot go backward. We, China, will never let even one millimeter of our sovereign territory be taken from us. So that is what Xi basically gave marching orders to the Chinese Coast Guard and ostensibly to the PLA to increase their presence around the Senkakus to a constant, everyday basis. And that's the big change that occurred at the end of December. So if you go to 2022, Chinese Coast Guard vessels were in and around the Senkaku Islands 336 days out of 365. Last year in 2023, they were 352 days out of 365, with 42 days where they entered into the territorial waters, which is in 12 miles. And now we're expecting, that this will now ramp up to every day. Chinese Coast Guard vessels will be around the Senkakus, probing into the contiguous zone, 24 miles away from the island, and then into the territorial waters of the Japanese. And the Japanese, recognizing that, sent this research vessel there to see how the Chinese would actually respond to Xi's statement in January. Here we are in April, so the Japanese were testing Xi's resolve to see if he's really going to comply with what he directed the Chinese Coast Guard to do at the end of December.
Detail, Jim. Coast Guard, Chinese Coast Guard. Is there a distinction to be made between the Chinese Coast Guard and the Chinese Navy?
Oh, yeah, big time. So the Chinese Coast Guard is what they considered a white hull. It's not considered a gray hull combatant. So in terms of rules of engagement, they'll be less likely to be. At least that's the conventional wisdom, is that if there's Coast Guard vessels operating near each other, well, then they'll be less likely to have a violent interaction because they're not armed and they're supposed to be there for Coast Guard purposes. However, the Chinese Coast Guard doesn't play by the same rules as the Japanese or the United States Coast Guards. They have Coast Guard vessels that are quite large, over 10,000 tons, that are double-hulled. Their own statements, the Chinese Coast Guard says, we designed our Coast Guard hulls to be able to ram other navies and other Coast Guards. So, but it gives them the veneer, the look in the international press as not being an aggressor. So there's that distinction. And for the last, since 2012, when the Senkakus became a really hot issue, the PLA Navy would stay 60 to 70 to 90 miles away from the Senkakus. But when I retired in late 2014, early 2015, the PLA Navy was starting to get closer in the order of 30, 40 miles away. Now, that was 10 years ago. So my sense of it is that what you have is Coast Guard vessels operating within 24 to 12 miles of the Senkaku Islands, probing in with Chinese naval vessels, the gray hulls with weapons, sitting just over the horizon should there be some kind of a conflict. And then there's one other thing we should mention, which is the difference between sovereignty versus administration. United States and China believes that's their sovereign territory. Japan believes the Senkakus are their sovereign territory. And the United States has said, we don't recognize sovereignty, but we do recognize that Japan has the legitimate authority to administer those islands since World War II. And this kind of changes and mixes up the clarity of the threat, and allows politicians to be able to say, well, I'm not going to get involved for this or that reason, depending on what the circumstances of the conflict would be.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
So, Jim, given China's cunning or tactics, what do you think the Japanese should do in response?
Well, I've long been an advocate for Japanese to put meteorological and survey observers, civilians, on that island. and to put them there, which would complicate Beijing's, it would make them to appear to be the aggressors in any kind of operation that they would do to take the islands. Now, most people say that's provocative, and it would put those individuals at risk, because then that would be a red line, and then China would say, therefore, we're going to invade and take the Senkakus. But I don't think China's ready to do that quite yet. And if the Japanese are, in fact, with the United States, starting to put, you know, short-range, medium-range, and intermediate-range missile systems on those islands and starting to beef up our presence there, then China's got to go back to the drawing board and ask themselves, do they really want to start a third world war over some civilian, analysts that are going to go on the islands and check to see the status of flora and fauna and the water depths or whatever it is that they're looking at to keep the weather going and keep it as a weather station. So I that's my recommendation to the Japanese, because if they did that, it would just put another claim. It would cement their claim again to the islands that they don't really have right now, because they never put anybody on the island.
This is the Okinawa Prefecture, and it's fun to look at a map and puzzle. Okinawa Island, where the U.S. has for since 70, 80, 90 years, my math fails, stationed military units, stretches all the way towards Taiwan. Ishigaki is on the way. It has a very good harbor. The Senkaku is to the north of that. But this is an island chain that, if I were looking at it as a surface warfare officer, I would say, I don't want to go anywhere near that if we have hostile activity, because it's a shooting gallery. Does China see that, Jim? Does China see that messing with the Japanese, a newly sharp-teethed Japanese, is inviting failure?
You would hope that they would understand that this is not just a simple, ballistic missile game where they just have to have as many missiles as there are targets on the ground and it all be over. I think they have to, maybe do some more study of the Battle of Guadalcanal or the slot, and see how those kind of things can happen, where it can be quite deadly if you're trying to operate in this area, especially if you've got a friend in Taiwan that's got similar missile systems, and it becomes almost, as you said, a very deadly place to operate.
And you believe the Chinese see this, and therefore they assume they can talk their way through these islands? It's a puzzle. Gordon, this is a question for you, too. Does she believe that his bluster is enough to penetrate Okinawa Prefecture that Japan regards as its territory? We know what happened in the Battle of Okinawa in 1945. They fought to the last man.
Yes, well, I think Xi Jinping believes that he can get the Okinawans to create problems for Tokyo, because the Okinawans are ethnically a little bit different than the Japanese. They see themselves as different, and there's been evidence that China has been trying to spur independence movements in Okinawa. So I think that really is Xi Jinping's main form of aggression in that area.
Does that have worth, to your measure, Jim, to talk their way through by sowing division?
Well, I think that's what China's been very adept at over the last couple of decades, is being able to use non-kinetic power, all kinds of pressure points, and this is one of them that Gordon just described. But I also believe that they have been trying to, they planned for a backup, and I think what they've done with this buildup of their strategic rocket force and this creation of an information support force and all these other elements of military power are going to be designed to neutralize that threat. And it's really it's you could almost say it's a gamble in some sense, but I think they cannot achieve their stated goals if they're not able to get outside of the first island chain. So they have to break the chain. They've convinced themselves of that for sure.
We're speaking with James Fennell, co-author of Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure, government fellow at the Geneva Center, former Navy officer, intelligence. There's one other sovereign power in these waters that I want to check Jim on, and that's the Philippines, when we come back. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.